So there's danger in the pastor having time away. There's a desire to fit in all of the gospel in but a few minutes. But at the very least, will you allow me this? I'd like to read a little more than what we'll have on the screen this morning. So if ever there was a time to encourage you to open your Bibles, today's the day. Page 1262. We're actually, instead of starting at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we're actually going to start further back in chapter 10, verse 32. We'll be skipping over verse 37 and 38, not because they're not important, but because the preacher is referencing an Old Testament reference that we will build upon later. So beginning at Hebrews 10:32, O Lord, may you open your word to us, may you bless it to us, may your spirit move within our hearts that we might hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. The 32nd verse of Hebrews 10, and again, this might be a thing where you want to keep your finger in the Bible as we go through afterwards. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Moving to verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Moving to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them. He's prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I'll say it again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's that passage at the beginning of chapter 11 that so many faithful throughout the church have held on to. It's a passage that's familiar to many of us. It's a passage that's been held on to throughout the ages. Some have even used it as a way of saying, we have a definition for faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That faith, that definition of faith, that passage that's familiar to us, comes to us because of a problem. A problem that the preacher of Hebrews was trying to address. That problem is reality. Reality. That thing we hit the moment we go outside the doors, that thing we often run into even inside the doors of the church. Reality. The ever-present pressure to play out life the way we see it and experience it. That's the way everyone else is doing life. What they see and what they experience. That's reality. It's a constant pressure on us that is both seen and unseen. Unseen in the same way that, well, gravity. Many of us don't go around thinking about gravity. That is, unless we're high up in a tree branch or something. But I did a little research. You know how much pressure is on you right now? I looked it up. Almost 15 pounds per square inch of your body. People have done the calculations, worked that out. It's basically, there's a car on each one of us right now because of gravity. You feel that? If you're feeling that way, you could always go a little higher up, like to Denver, a mile high up, and then it's only, instead of 15 pounds, it's 12 pounds of pressure. You know, maybe it's more like a small car now on you. Reality has a way of pressuring us to experience and take life as it is. It led many in the early church, because of time and reality, to begin discarding or loosening their hold upon that conviction that Jesus has saved us. That conviction that God really cares, that God really has wiped away all of our sins through Jesus and taken away all that blemish and made it that we could actually be right with God. And yet the early church was waiting as we are. It's that same pressure that leads the teenager in school who grows up in the church to beginning testing and exploring reality, because that's the way life really is. It's the same pressure on the worker that is at working among coworkers and trying to get along and fit in, and the pressure to do things that maybe aren't ethical. Who stands up? Reality. So the preacher is saying what we need in the face of reality, in the face of holding Jesus on the one hand and ever swimming in reality, what we need is endurance. Endurance. The ability to hang on and keep at it. And how to encapsulize and give endurance to people. When you're training for a sport, you practice more, you develop your muscles. Coaches have ways of helping people learn how to endure what they previously couldn't endure. The preacher, the sermon writer of Hebrews, his coaching is to say what you need is faith. And he's not trying to bash us with, well, you don't have faith. He's trying to tell us about what faith is and how it can work for us. In short, what he's doing is he's saying, hey, our perspective has something to do with our practice. Our perspective, the way we see things, the way we understand things, has something to do with our practice. What we do, how we live, interact. Perspective often influences or indeed directly affects practice. How we see and understand the world influences and directs what we do and how we behave. The student who thinks that they can't learn and don't have a chance, that's a perspective that influences how they'll perform on a test, a quiz, or even the effort of opening a book and trying. Our perspective, the way we see things, has a direct impact on our practice. And our practice, what we do, how we behave, what we say, where we go, what we do, really betrays or lifts up what our real perspective is. How many times have you dealt with someone or even had the question put to you when you've done something wrong or they've done something wrong, and someone says, "Why did you do that?" What's our first response? "I don't know." Oh, come on. You don't know? No, we might know. We just don't want to admit what we know. We don't want to admit the perspective that's just been betrayed by the practice. And so the preacher is saying, look, remember how you were all excited when you first heard about Jesus? When you first heard about God's gift to you, that God loves you so much that incredible gulf between you and God, that there was no way you could get there. You could never earn His worth, His practice, His love. Instead, He loved you so much that He gave you Jesus in your place. Remember the excitement you heard about that freedom that you've been given through Jesus Christ? Remember that? That lifted you, that allowed you, as he writes to them, it allowed you to actually endure suffering when it first happened. When you were having reality hit upon you and the community be upset with you because you've changed course in your actions and your behaviors, you were okay because you had a perspective of what God had done for you. That God truly loves you. He says, remember that? You can return to that. He says, there's two kind of teams. And we need to decide which team we're on. He says this in verse 39. of the 10th chapter. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. He's referencing Habakkuk 2:4, which speaks of that the righteous will live by faith, but that God doesn't want any part with those who won't live in faith, that God doesn't want any part with those who aren't going to trust him. He says, look, we're not like those who are shrink back from trusting God and are going to be destroyed, but rather we're of those who have faith and preserve the souls. We belong to a team that isn't depending on reality, what we see and what we experience. We belong to a team that allows us to endure reality through faith. And he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's not just, so I hope someday that will happen. No, it's certain that it will happen. It just hasn't yet. It's the conviction of things that are not seen. Catch the contrast. Reality is what we see, what we experience. Faith is the conviction of that which we cannot see, but is convicted that that still will be. Some people call it blind faith. Well, that's redundant. It's conviction, even though we can't see it. Just wait for it. I remember watching years ago, Michigan State was getting beaten down by another team, and they were down so many touchdowns. And my young son asked me, do we have any chance? It was the fourth quarter. And I had to say to him, there is no chance. This game's done. And he was all upset and so forth. Michigan State came back and won it, such that I actually enjoy watching the reruns of it. But even as I watch the reruns, I still have trouble looking at the clock, seeing how many points they're down, and seeing that, knowing that they're going to win, because sometimes it looks like this time they won't. Well, that's a silly sports analogy, but it's the conviction of things that are not seen. That's what faith is. And then the rest of chapter 11 goes into a string of calling us to realize that all those who have been blessed by faith, who've trusted in God, that they are commended by God. And it goes through a long list of by faiths. And I love the first one. It's verse 3. It is incredible. It's not about a person, but it's about a statement of belief that we hold. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the first beginning of how things are. Well, wait a minute. That's quite a statement of belief. That's quite a statement of faith. Verse 3 goes this way. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. And this is where it really hits on reality, if you're not quite hearing it yet. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The Latin for that is ex nihilo, made out of nothing. That God created the world out of nothing. God simply spoke and it was. By faith, we believe that everything you see and experience, all of that even, was created by God simply speaking. And it was. This is the team we're on. The team of faith that trusts that there's a greater work at play than the reality that we experience day by day. It just goes on. And we skipped over to the 8th verse where it starts to speak about Abraham. And now Abraham, by faith, left his homeland, his people, everything he knew, and he went because God told him to. He didn't even know where he was going. You can ask my family. I cannot stand that. I don't know how many of you can either. Some of you blindly get in the car and have no problem because someone else is driving. Me, not a chance. I'm pulling out of that driveway. I want to know whether I'm going right or left, period. And I get irritated. You can see it. Even if I don't speak, my shoulders start to go up. I want to know where we're going. Now, my wife knows this about me, and she likes to poke that. And she starts to tell me as she listens to the map. I like to have the map in my head. I like to know where everything is, how it's laid out. She likes to go by the map. And where it tells her to turn, she turns. And so when we go on vacation, as much as I try, I'm left to that map. But I've gotten good. I've gotten real good. I look over and I can see the map and I can see where I'm going to turn before she tells me. I've been doing that for years. She caught me. Now she turns the phone sideways. I can't even make it out in the reflection on the window. I have to wait. Abraham went to the land that he was told to go to. He didn't know where he was going. And why? Because the preacher is saying it wasn't just about where he was going. He was trusting that God knew the place. That God was leading him home to the promise. Even when he was in the promised land, they lived as if in tents. Because this, even this promised land was not final home. His perspective, his view, his eyes of faith were on God. And that influenced his practice. Oh, he had hiccups along the way where he wanted to take the wheel back and look at the thing and make sure he knew where he was. And he got challenged from time to time. And he lost out. He failed many times. But the preacher wants to focus on the overarching thing is that he kept getting back and driving by faith. Sarah herself, by faith, even though we know she laughed in Scripture when it said she was going to have a child, in the end, she had faith and got to experience the power of God, the immense power of God. You know, if we're not living in faith, it's not likely we're going to see and experience the incredible power of God, such that she had a child when she was no longer able to have children. And as if that's a great event, we could go on and on, and the writer would be happy to share with us. By faith, we follow one who died, and yet God raised from the dead, not as a spirit, but bodily. Such that the disciples could reach out and touch, such that he could eat and had a real body and still does. He's risen. He's risen indeed. By faith, it's a challenge on us to have a perspective that looks at God's bigger picture and not just the reality we're presented with, the experience of what we see. It's a challenge to us, and all the ways that the world presses in, reality hits us, it's a challenge to us to have our eyes heavenward on our greater goal of what God has done for us. The preacher knows the weakness of the argument, can see it long before someone tells him. So he jumps ahead to it in the same way that anybody who can perceive the weakness in the argument, recognizing that he gives a long list of Old Testament people who lived by faith, he recognizes the hole in the argument, the problem that someone's more than ready to jump on him and say. So he lists it out. He says, yeah, they all died in faith. having not received the promise. We're impatient. When I'm in the drive-thru line and I'm stuck there, particularly if they put a curb there that sticks me really stuck between cars, I'm tapping my foot. This is taking 3 minutes. We're impatient. And so, what do we do when we don't receive the promise? He says, that's not the point. Their promise was not in this world. The promise we have is not for this world. The promise we have is for the life to come. It's a promise that is future that plays back into present and can shape all our present reality. We have a promise through Jesus Christ that if we confess Him as Lord and Savior, if we ask Him to forgive us our sins, then we are forever with the Father. And no one and nothing can take that away from you. That perspective influences our practice, what we do, what we say, how we live. Let's live by faith. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, help us, just like the church of old, to learn how to endure. Help us to move beyond a faith journey that makes Sundays only our time of being faithful to you, but rather begin us on a journey where we begin trusting you more and more with our lives. Help us to see the greater picture of what you have given through Jesus. And help us now to give back to you. We pray all this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.